From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that your presence drives out all darkness, all evil influences. I ask your presence again tonight to be here in such a magnificent way that every dark cloud, every darkness, every spirit of heaviness will go far from your people and far from us. Thank you that, Lord, you're going to speak to us in power and that our lives will never be the same again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. We're looking at know your invisible enemies and defeat them. You see, when you know who has been thieving from your house, once you get to know that person, then the victory is already there, isn't it? In the same manner, when doctors are able to discover what you are suffering from, what is making you get sick all the time, once the doctors are able to figure that out, when doctors are able to find that out, then victory comes. Then the defeat of the virus comes. We are learning that we have enemies, and these enemies are invisible. They are called invisible enemies. So your enemy is not the person sitting next to you, even though the devil wants to use the person sitting next to you to look as if that person is your enemy. Your enemy is not your Christian brother. Your enemy is not your Christian sister. Your enemy is called the devil. I say your enemy is called the devil. And we need to understand, if we are going to live this Christian life for a long time, then we need to understand how to recognize or how to know this invisible enemy. And once we know him, then we can easily defeat him. Are you with me? Yes. Well, I said, are you with me? So many things that go on, that's not Alana. Where's Alana? Is Alana here? Alana is here. Good. I'm going to talk to the two of you tonight, right? Wonderful. So once you are able to discover or know your invisible enemy, then all you can do, Marissa, is just to make sure that you don't get affected by the invisible enemy. Because if you don't know your enemy, that is when your enemy gets advantage over you. And whether you like it or not, we have an enemy. Whether you like him or not, he's still an enemy. And he is more alert than sometimes us. Because he's always looking for an opportunity to strike. So that when you and I feel relaxed, when you and I think that everything is okay, that is when he comes in. And if you look at the devil, if you look at an enemy, you see, the enemy always looks for a particular moment when you are relaxed. When you are, you are not on your guard. The history of the defeat of the Allied forces in relation to the German troops in Holland, for example. During the Second World War, Hitler was trying to take over Europe. So America and England combined their forces and they came in to help free and to protect continental Europe from Hitler's invasion. Now, one of the things that, I don't know whether you know about it, is that in Holland, the way they defeated the German troops was very interesting. You know what they did? That is why the Dutch people have always maintained that kind of culture. When the German troops invaded Holland, what the Dutch people did was that they released women. They released women to go in. Just like the ladies were trying to talk to the boy here stage. Same thing. Now, an army officer who has been on the battlefield for a month, who has never seen a woman before, sees this girl coming in panties and brassiere. That is how they defeated them. Because they lay down their guns and they started to get busy. Before they could say Jack Robinson, they were surrounded. That's how the Allied forces, the Americans and the British, took over Holland from the German soldiers. They sent some prostitutes to them. So Holland has always been a country that fights for prostitutes. So, you know, if you have a friend who wants to be a prostitute, they should go to Holland. They'll get support. It's a good business. It's a good place to exercise and to practice the oldest profession. The oldest profession is prostitution. Yeah, that's the oldest profession. Man, carpentry, masonry, it came after prostitution. Yeah, dangology. The study of dangles. Prince, is that also? You should incorporate that in your programs at the University of Guyana. Dangology. The study of dangles. Yeah, a lot of people will sign up. I tell you, it will be one of the most popular courses on the university. Yeah. It was very interesting. So you see that the enemy will always use something that you like. Something that touches you and affects you. That is why when you like something, you should be very afraid. Yeah. At a camp in Florida, Bishop was saying it. Bishop said that the first day, he said, the day he decided not to like anything anymore was when he saved some small money and he bought himself a nice, shiny jacket. I mean, he's become a nice young pastor. So he was looking for, you know, seals to go and stand in front of the congregation and preach. So he found this nice jacket, nice shiny jacket, and he bought it. He said he timed Sunday. He dressed up. He put on his nice shiny suit. And he went to preach. He said as he was preaching, he heard the voice of the Lord, give the suit to that guy there. He said since then, he doesn't like anything anymore. Because he knows that if he falls in love with something, he knows what is going to happen. God will say, give it away. I am the only one you should like, nothing else. Because he's a jealous God. So if you like something and you're a Christian, you should know that it's very wrong. It's like you're a Christian sister, a Christian brother, and there's a particular thing that you can't live without. That once you see it, you get excited, you skin your teeth once you see it. I know many of you are like that. It's dangerous. Because when the devil is coming for you, it's the same thing he comes for. Some people, it's just food. Food for their stomach. They can't fast for just even 3 hours. You have been reduced to food. I mean, food is what actually changes your mind and affects you. Isn't it fantastic? So you have to know your enemy. And knowing your enemy comes with your victory over the enemy. So when the Dutch people, when the Americans and the British realized that these girls can make anybody lose focus, they released prostitutes. Come and see panties and buttocks. Hey! German soldiers took off their helmet, put down their guns, they started kissing up and hugging up. That was the end of the war. I tell you. Yeah. They have been on the battlefield for months. Starved. Anybody will fall for it. That's how the devil works. So we are looking at knowing him all. Because many of us come to church, we don't know that the devil is our enemy. We think that the pastor is the one who's our enemy. We think that the person is sitting next to you is the enemy. No. The devil is your enemy. You know, so we are looking at, what are we looking at? You remember? Are you sure? No. Hey, who's that? Special targets of the invisible enemy. You see, I'm preaching in several places, so if you don't take care, preach the same topic around. Because I want us to exhaust that subject of invisible enemies. Many people have been hit unawares by an invisible enemy. I tell you. You know somebody who has been hit by the devil? Yeah. He doesn't make joke, you know. We are the ones who make joke. I said, we are the ones who make joke with God and make joke with the church. The devil doesn't make joke. We does not make joke at all. Annette. The devil doesn't make joke. At all. So, Luke chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be targeted. To be targeted. Rishon, to be targeted. Yeah? The lawyer from Saints. If you dare take him, his client to court, you lose the bill. You lose the bill. He'll fight you far. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. So Jesus was targeted by the devil. He was targeted. So you realize that the devil, he looks through. I remember the day when I was casting out the devil from one of my church members. And the devil said, the demons, we stand outside the church. And then we look at the people. We like those who like minding people business. And there are plenty of church members like that. So the demons are outside the church looking for people who like minding people business. Because they know that if they can enter into those people, then those people can mind your business. They can look at your shoe. They can look at your hairstyle. They can look at your clothes. They can look at who you are with, your banner, your fellow, whoever. And that can provoke you. It can make you annoyed. It can make you angry. You can actually fight in the church. You can decide not to come back to the church because there's some girl in the church, somebody in the choir, who's always saying something about you. What do you think about it? That's how it works. Interestingly, the devil seems to find people all the time. Yeah. Many people don't go to church because they say, the people like talk. The people talk about your clothes. The people like minding your business. People like talking my name. I don't like how people say it like that. You see, and they don't understand that the enemy is not the people in the church. The enemy is the devil. Because if you go to any church, you experience the same thing. That is what makes you know that the problem is not Shepherd House. The problem is not Lighthouse. The problem is not Wesleyan Church. The problem is somebody who is called the devil. Because talking name is everywhere. Delan, are you listening? Talking name is the constant. You see, it's common all over. The constant in this factor is the devil. I don't know any church that you go and you have peace. In fact, the church that you go and find peace, it means that that's Satan's church. Yeah. That's Satan's church. You must have problems in the church. You must have issues in the church. If you don't have issues in the church, know that you are not even a target. The devil looks at you and he says, don't worry, Rishi, let's go for somebody else. This one? He doesn't have teeth. You have no teeth. Left you alone. You don't have spiritual teeth. You can't bite. All you do is woof woof over. You can't bite. You're a rice eater. Huh? We will experience issues in the church. But the enemy is not the person you are experiencing the issue with. The enemy is the devil. So, church members were targeted by these devils. Especially those who, like I said, like many people business. Yeah, you'll be hit, cry. And if you've been in the church for a while, you understand that some people are known to be talkatives in the church. I'm sure there are some in the church you can identify. What are you known for in the church? As a talkative? You always talk. You always got something for say. How are you known in the church? Yeah. And the way you are either exposes you to the devil as a major target or not. So we are looking at targets of the devil, because the devil just doesn't come and just look for anybody. Let me tell you, there are some people, when the devil takes them, it doesn't make any difference. Masha, some people in the church, if the devil even comes to your life, we will not feel it. The church won't feel it. You will not make any difference. Yeah. But there are some people, when the devil targets them and he gets them, then you see that the impact is felt in the church. Who wants to go to fight with an enemy and hit the enemy and the enemy can't feel it? You want to hit your opponent big time. The place where he will feel the pain and the hurt more. So we're saying that one of the first targets are four targets of the devil. The first one is what? Church members. So if you're a church member, as you are coming to church, as you are walking on the road, you should know that you're a target. You're a special target. So let me tell you, it's like you're on a battlefield. You have to look out for the bullet too. I see that church members are very careless. They do anything. They go anywhere. They say anything. They fellowship with anybody. They eat anything. No, if only you knew that you are a target. You'll be very careful what you do, where you go, what you eat, who you eat with. There has been a history in this church of people affecting people with demons. And I don't think it has stopped. It won't stop. It won't stop. Yeah, the tricks don't end. You just have to be vigilant. So church members are one of the targets of the devil. Are you a church member? Are you a church member?
Yes.
Then you are a target. You are a special target. You are not excluded nor exempted from this battle. How can you be a soldier and then when the enemy sees you, they say, oh, no, don't shoot him. Go look for somebody else. Go and look for his mother. Soldiers are supposed to be shot. Enemy soldiers are supposed to be shot. So if you will not be alert and be vigilant, then you'll be shot. Once you are shot, that's it. You're gone. That's all. That's it for you, for Christianity. Do you know somebody who has been shot? There are many people who are not around here. Yeah, fallen soldiers. Yeah. 13 bullets to the chest. And one to the head. Gone. Finished. Yeah. Now, let me say this. If you become a target of the devil, what do you do? Let me just make that statement and we move on. How would you know that you have been affected, you've been hit? Do you want a diagnosis? Okay. You know that you've been hit by the devil when you do the opposite of what the church stands and believes in. Stands for and believes in. Should I say it again? Is it clear? So you are hit when you find yourself not doing what the church believes in and stands for. So, for example, the church believes in doing home sales. You say you don't like to be a home sale leader. You say you don't like to be in the home sale. You've been hit. The church believes in tithe paying. You say, no, you don't believe in paying tithe. You've been hit. You have been a target. You have been hit. And therefore, you have been affected by a virus. And that virus now is acting up against the course and the order of things. When you're also disobedient or stubborn in the church, you've also been hit. Why would you be for and then you will not cooperate and do the things that the church is doing? Ask yourself. Are you a friend or an enemy? You have been affected? Frenemy. Okay. That's also another word. Are you learning the diagnosis? Yeah. You've been hit when you do things that the church does not believe in or not stand for. You don't come to church on Sundays. You come to church on Tuesdays, Wednesdays. You've been hit. If you have not been hit, you will come when we are fighting. Those who don't fight when the soldiers are fighting are those who are in the hospital, first aid, they have bandages, their legs are in something, raised up and all that. You've been hit. That's why you are not around. Those that are here are those who are fighting. Protected with bulletproof, moving through the bushes and with all kinds of things, fighting and dodging bullets and all of that. Those of us who come here all the time are those who are fighting and dodging the bullets to be here. When you get hit, you will not be around. Have you seen any soldier who has been hit who is still fighting before? Once you are hit, you are out. So then the general flow of the church, the general belief of the church, what the church stands for, what the church is doing, you will not do it. You will do the opposite of it. That's a sign that you've been hit. I said, that's a sign that you've been hit. So you may be sitting next to somebody. They look so good, but they are wounded in the spirit. You are not here. You are not doing what the church is doing. You are not flowing as the church is flowing. So those of you who are reserved, you are reserved because you are in the hospital. Satan has hit you. Yeah, your gun is not being used. Your bullets are still in the whatever of the gun, because you are out of the battle, because he has kept you on a hospital bed. He shot your legs, shot your chest, shot your head. You are in coma. You are actually in coma. That's why you don't do anything in the church. Because if we are preaching, we are teaching you that you are a target of the devil. Okay, so how do I know if I've been hit? You've been hit when you are not active. No soldier is inactive. You'll be released from the army if you're inactive. And so those of you who have been here for years and are not conforming and are not aligning with the vision and the mission of the church, you are in coma. I said so. You're in spiritual coma. And you see, once the life support is taken off, that's it, you're gone. Watch it. Don't you never tell your neighbor, watch it. Ask them, are you on life support? you are just moving through the church. You just come and go. You are just there. You are just there. You are just breathing. You are just breathing. Nothing really creeps you. Nothing strong. You can't do anything much. You are just passing through the church. Is it Triana? Triana, you are just passing through the church. It's just your life support. It's that you barely can breathe. You barely come to church. You can't make it. Even Sundays, it's like, oh, you come one Sunday, you can't come the other Sunday because you can't leave the hospital and come to church. You are almost dead. If you look at me, who is the head of this church? I am fighting. Don't you see me around active everywhere like that? I'm at the forefront of the battle. Yeah, the general of the fight. If you see me inactive around anymore, you should know that bullet to the head. I'm showing you the secret. That's what it is. You can't come and say you are a target of the devil. Number two, this person is a target of the devil, and then you go that you are a target. So target. No, you have to understand what happens to you when you are hit as a target. You are inactive. You are immobilized. You are on a sick bed. Yeah, nurses are coming to turn you and bath you on the bed and bath your bolo bolo and things on the bed. Take off your diaper. Yeah, you have drips. Pray that you don't die on the bed. I said, pray that you don't lose your salvation on the bed. So when you come to church and you know you flow in a certain way, you should know the diagnosis. Because it can't be that some people are active and some people are not, and it's okay. It can't be. The only reason is that the devil has shot people. Sniper. He was standing on Cemetery Road and he sniped a long range bullet. Pow, pow. That one is even one, isn't it? Pow, and that's it. Silencer. All you see is that your heart is not in the things anymore. You're the love for the things anymore. You don't have the energy for the thing anymore. You are tired for the thing. So, man, you've been hit. Yeah. I'm going to pray for all those who have been hit. If you want me to pray for, I'll pray for you tonight. Yeah, you undergo surgery. I'll take the bullets off your body tonight in the name of Jesus. And the healing of God will be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. What's number two? Second target of who? Religious and church leaders. Because you see, again, you can have people becoming leaders. Who does not support the church? That's why, for example, in our church here, if you are going to be a church worker or whatever we call ourselves, shepherd, church worker, leader, deacon, elder, whatever. One of the things among others that we look for is whether you pay tithe, for example. Because you cannot come and sit down and be seen as an important person when you actually don't support the church that you are trying to pose as you are a bourgeoisie of. So that's how he targets them. He targets those that are close to the command center. And so he works in them to cause confusion and discord and disagreement and to slow things down and to not believe in the things that is being done. There's so many things all to work against what the mission and the vision is. So Satan's target is not just church members, but also religious and church leaders. So if you're a leader, you should be careful that a leader must be one of the people who believe in the pastor and believe in the church more.
When you're a leader in the church, it is a shame on any leader when you don't say any good things about the church or about the pastor. You have been hit. You can't be a leader in the church and you don't admire the pastor.
You can't come and sit down here and be a church member. Even we tell church members that. Now, how much more you who has become a leader? You don't have love eyes for your pastor. You don't have admiration in your heart for the pastor. You don't praise your pastor. You don't honor him. What kind of leader are you? What kind of leader are you? Have you found your way into the leadership to destroy the work that God is trying to do here? Why is it when leaders are meeting, you don't come? Who do you work for? Whose side are you on?
Satan is in trouble tonight. Number three. The
third target of the invisible enemy is close associates. Close associates. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Close associates. If you are a close associate, be careful. Close associates. So you have church members, religious and church leaders, isn't it? And number three, close associates. So you are talking about people who are very close to the leader. Matthew 16:22 says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you." Hey, who's that? Hey, you begging? She's begging from the back. All right. So Peter said, "Be it far from thee." Don't allow yourself to be hit. Okay. The window is open, so it's watch it. Make sure that you have your helmet of salvation. It'll protect your head. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Verse 23. But he turned and he said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Peter. Get thee behind me, Cephas." Are you sure? Jesus is calling his immediate associate Satan. So you should be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised when we have close associates who work against the church. Close associates who say that no, this thing can't work. So it's biblical. Jesus had his assistant pastor tell him what he wants to do. He can't do it. There's no money to do it. We can't afford this thing here now. This project that Jesus, you say you're going to do, it will not happen. That's it. Peter was there opposing the purpose and the mission of Jesus Christ. So in the same manner, Satan targets close associates to work against the mission and the vision of the leader. If you're a close associate, you should watch it. I said, if you're a close associate, you should watch it. You're a target. I said, you're a target. Satan will not leave anybody alone. As long as he knows it will make a certain impact. Yeah. We have lost people who are very, very close. I think it's a long time since we took a picture of shepherds and people like that. But all in the past, as we've taken pictures of group pictures of shepherds and workers and all of that, every season you see some faces that say, "Hey, this lady here. Hey, where is she? Hey, that guy. He doesn't come to church anymore." Huh? If you look through the church, you look into the church, you see it. There's some particular face you used to see, now you don't see anymore. Yeah. Because all these people are targets. We walk around as if we do not understand what is happening. We enroll in the army of the Lord, forgetting that bullets are flying as we've enrolled. I said, we enroll in the army of the Lord by giving our life to Christ, and we forget. We forget. Who are you a close associate of? See, close associates can be wives and husbands of ministers and preachers. Yeah. Close associates. You can be used to destroy your husband or your wife's ministry. You've been hit. Once the devil knows that you're heading good. Somebody was asking me, how? He said, "Bishop, when you are not there, after all these years, things still don't work in a certain way." So I said, so the person was asking, "So when you're not here, what concept should we use?" I said, "I'll give you a secret. I want you, when I'm not here, to use a concept I call HG concept. Then she said, what concept is that? I said, head good concept. I said that if I'm not here and you are head good, you make things happen. You don't make things happen because people head ain't good. So in this church, we operate by HG concept. Devon, HG concept. If there's any confusion in the choir, when the director is not there, it means that the choir's head ain't good. That's what it is. It's simple. Because if we head good, we will know that we have a responsibility. We have something to do. It's not now time to say, who? Sure win? Mean like he, man. Mean going? You're heading good. Is it because of Sherwin that you come to church? Are you singing because of Sherwin?
No.
So it means that the head, something wrong with the head. It was a pastor I was talking to. I said, if he had head good, it was a pastor I was talking to. So then one person said, okay, so Bishop, I said, sweetie, head good. Every question you ask, first ask yourself, I said, is head good? It's a concept we are working with. Yeah. If I'm not around and we have meetings on Wednesdays or on Thursdays, you know it, and I'm not around and then you don't have meeting, you are heading good. Is Donsus I dealing with? Because they can't understand that every Thursday we have a meeting, every Friday we have a meeting. So HG concept. Anybody who doesn't cooperate and do what we are doing, it means they don't understand the HG concept. If your head good, let's do the right things. That's all. The sign that we head good is that we know what to do and we do it where we have to do it. Yeah, that's when the HG concept is working. Yeah. Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9. Yeah, Philippians 4:9. That's head good concept. So close associates. I was talking to my pastor's wives. I was telling them, some of you are a disgrace to me. You see, many of you, you never dreamt, or not many of you, some of you never dreamt that you marry a pastor. The marriage that you married a pastor is supposed to be something that should elevate you. But you've been used by the devil to destroy a lot of things. Those of you who are married to my pastors and things, you should watch it. It's you I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, some of you, there are devils living in you. Yeah, you are devil incarnate. Yeah, I know you. When I see you, I can see devil in your eyes. You see, there are some people, demons make their face look ugly. Yeah. Oh yeah, when you see them, you can see it. And my pastor's wife. Yeah. No, my pastor's wives don't even know how to behave as pastor's wives. So I'm talking about, you are, as a wife or as a husband of a minister or a preacher or a pastor, you are a target. So you should ask yourself, the way you've been behaving, have you been hit? If you may hate, it means that everything you do, or most of the things you do, is opposite to what you're supposed to be doing. Close associate. Peter was hit by the devil. He prevented Jesus from doing the main thing that he had come to this world. Why?
Are you close to the man of God? Are you not close to him? Are you not married to him? Are you not his spouse? Are you not his spouse? So that the vision that God has given to this person, the calling that's upon this person's life, it will go smoothly. So why are you fighting it? Why are you behaving in such a way that the person's calling is now being affected? You are a devil. I say you are a devil. We didn't know. Now we are getting to know. Associates are targets. And when you become a target, you fight. You are not aligned. You are not in line. Your vision is not the same vision. Your opinions and your views are not the same. Yeah. Close associates. I'm talking to you, close associates, especially of my pastors and my lay pastors, my female pastors and my male pastors. I am talking to you. The place is quiet. It's true. Women destroy men's lives. Wives destroy their pastors' husbands' lives. Hey. We're discussing marriage. One of the breaks in the camp in Florida. And what somebody said that one of the most painful things is to have an employee who doesn't work, but you can't fire the person.
Yeah, please understand what I'm talking about. Yeah.
They don't do anything,
but you can't fire them.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, if you look at them, the reason why they have come to that place, they are not doing it. And yet, they spoil. You know who those people are? Christian wives and pastors' wives. They know you can't divorce them. They know as a pastor, if you divorce them, people say, did you know that if a pastor divorces, the world looks at the pastor in a very wrong way?
Yes,
as if the pastor is the devil. But do you know the pepper that the pastor is going through? That one, you understand? Because in the world, people take pictures of their wives. You see.
Pastor and pastor's ministry.
So whenever a pastor's marriage is affected, people don't even accept the man as a pastor anymore. That is the power of an employee who has been employed and doesn't work.
Yeah. Can't be fired.
Because if you fire, then people say, pastor fires wife.
His anointing is gone. His ministry is finished.
That's how we see it. Any pastor who divorces you, you know them, you don't respect them anymore, isn't it? If he's a man of God, his wife leave him. Do you know wives? Do you know wives? Do you know the female species called wife?
You don't have an idea. You don't have an idea. You don't have an idea.
That's what the apostle said. It was the woman who was deceived, not the man. Yeah, the deception comes from the woman. Everything about them is deception.
Don't believe it. I said, don't believe it.
Yeah. They shine, shining like the sun, shining. I tell you. So, Bishop was telling us about his book, The Beauty, the Beast, and the Pastor. Bishop said, there's not one. It's a big book written for pastors and their church leaders and their marriages, their wives. Bishop has a lot of stories in there. He said, there is not one story that is not true. And he brought one out of the book to us. He said, there was this story, a real thing. A pastor and his wife. In the night, the pastor is about to do chiki chiki. Bishop says, at the point of contact, the wife, the point of entry, the wife takes her hand to the back of the bed like that, brings out a checkbook, and says, Prince, and says, sign the checkbook, the check, before you enter. How wonderful. That's why you can't love anybody but Jesus. Bishop says, there is not. He said, all of this is there in my book. The pastor's wife reached out for the checkbook at the point of entry. Could you believe that a woman, a pastor's wife, a close associate, and that is your husband, man of God. He has gone to preach, ministry, lay hands, anointing oil. He has come home. Just a little cheeky, cheeky. You take out checkbook. I'm talking about close associates are targets. So if you are close to a pastor, you are close to the leader of a church, you should know that Satan has his eyes on you. It cannot be that the way you are behaving is normal. It cannot be that the way you are behaving is influenced by the Holy Spirit. It cannot be. Hello, children. Hello, children. It cannot be. We were not born yesterday. The way you are living your life has nothing to do with the influence of the Holy Spirit. The way you make your decisions has nothing to do with God leading you. It's the devil fully in your life. How can you take a checkbook? How can you take a checkbook for your pastor? So you don't. This is like a dangle. It's like a prostitute trying to. No, it's not. It is a pastor's wife, a pastor and his wife. It is so when you see pastors around here, their wife taking pictures. Don't believe anything. Don't believe anything. They are all pretending. Those who pretend are pretending. I tell you, don't believe it. Prophet and apostle. Pastor and pastor. Prophet. A pastor and his wife came to my office. We were chatting. And then we went to ministry. So, oh, yeah, I mean, we live here later. So, what does your wife do? So, my wife, she goes home. If she's tired, she wants to sleep, you should hang around. Is she watching me? So my wife understands. She knows what she has to do. If she's tired and sleepy, she comes to say, sweetie, I'm going to sleep. And then she goes home. And I go whenever I want to go. Then from the pastor's wife's mouth, right in my office, she says, we go to church together as a family. We leave church together as a family. Then I realize I've met one of those people. Yeah. You see, one thing in Guyana is that Guyanese women know Guyanese women. I said one thing in Guyana, Guyanese women know Guyanese women. So if they get a nice husband pastor, they know Guyanese women. True or false? Yeah, know yourself. Yeah. Know yourself.
You are not leaving room.
You are smiling like that. When you get a husband, you fight people. Oh. You fight fights that are not even important. Yeah. We can't. You see, as you all say, you love me, I'm a pastor. Hey, me, I'm afraid of you.
Yeah.
Because what my wife do for me. If you were my wife, you would kill me. How do you kill me? I tell you. Oh. Imagine, let's say midnight, I get a phone call and I leave the bedroom and I go out.
When I come back to the room, you are sitting on the bed, waiting. Your face turn up. Well, somebody says they will come behind me. Why do you have to take the phone call outside? Who are you speaking to?
We know ourselves.
Yeah. And even if you happen to see the person who called, maybe first call, you not say anything. Next time the call comes in the afternoon, you see that same person who called last night. Sunday you come to church, you see she.
I said close associates.
What? That behavior, Candace, that behavior, who is it from? Is it from God? Is it from an angel? Is it from the Holy Ghost? It's from the devil. A pastor's wife knows that the only place, the only cheeky cheeky the man can enjoy is you, cheeky cheeky. So if you say, I am not in the mood, I am tired, I ain't ready, I got things upon my mind. So where, what should he do?
So is your mind doesn't have no cheeky cheeky?
You look at it.
Close associates are also targets of the invisible enemy.
Close associates. You marry those who want to make you happy, but happiness is gone. Everybody supports you, but this your wife or your husband you've gone to marry. Your husband or your wife has become a Barack Jack doing the house, opposition leader.
He says he's not going to march for anti-corruption march. He's not going nowhere.
It doesn't matter whether the topic makes sense or not. I am opposing.
Anti-corruption for a march? Hello.
Opposition. It's true. Somebody said one of the most painful things in life is to have a beautiful wife that you can enjoy.
And when you go out, everybody say, what? Your wife is very beautiful. You say to yourself, yeah, I don't know how I punish it in the house.
You see, that's why the Muslims, they say, when you are going out, you cover up. I should have been a Muslim, I tell you.
The Muslims, they have advantages, though. Ravi, they can marry seven. You can't go out with your nice thing and thing outside. You got to cover up. And then they say when you kill people, you go to heaven, you get 10 virgins. Hey!
Yeah. When you die for Allah, you kill yourself for... They say when you go to paradise and God will give you 7 virgins. Who wants virgin in heaven?
You're not taking no bolo bolo to heaven. So what are you going to do with virgins in heaven? What kind of lie is that? Who wants 7 virgins as a prize? Who wants that? Now you're going to break 7 people? Eh? You go and break hymens and things. Is that what you're going to do in heaven? We came to heaven to enjoy ourselves. So what, women are in heaven? Is we are going to enjoy with women in heaven? You're not serious. Finally, you're closing.
Prince, why are you laughing? Best friends and assistants are also targets of invisible enemies. So it's church members, it's religious and church leaders, it is close associates, and it's best friends and assistants. Same scripture is valid. Matthew chapter 16. Peter was an assistant. He was also a best friend of Jesus. So watch your best friends. Watch your assistants.
Have you not realized, even in this life, outside the church, best friends don't take long? It's not all the best friends that go long. Somehow, after a few years, you and your best friend, something happened. Either some man, is you man, the best friend come take something. There's always something.
Hey, some corruption. You and your best friend don't talk anymore. Hey.
Yeah. Something. You used to be best friends. You used to do everything together. You used to go everywhere together. You used to visit, you know, your fella used to take the two of you to Marriott. Only one day to realize that on Facebook, you man kissing she.
Not saying that. Not knowing that as you be going to Marriott and eating, he watching you, man.
Best friends. This thing here, that thing, all kinds of things happen. So best friends are targets. Assistants are targets.
Once they are targeted,
they are the ones who can cause one of the greatest damages around you. Because if your best friend, hey, when your best friend snitches on you, it's not easy. It's a lifetime, what? Lifetime soul. Ha! Lifetime soul, Jiggy says. It's a lifetime soul. Your best friend. Your best friend. Yeah. Your worst enemy. And your best friend. Your worst enemy. Because these relationships are targeted by the enemy. He doesn't want us to enjoy any love, any unity, any company. He doesn't want something to last long. He always wants to destroy something beautiful.
And that's why we must be conscious.
That as we are coming to the church, as we are going, as you are serving God, He's looking for an opportunity to take you away. Looking for an opportunity to let you not serve God anymore. He doesn't like those things. So don't take the devil for granted. And just be walking about and just flowing freely. Bullets are flying.
May you not be hit in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight and put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. Close your eyes with me.
If you are not saved, I want to pray for salvation first. Those who are not saved, if you are not born again here tonight, I want to pray with you. Bishop, please pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. You're not saved. You're not born again. If you die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. I want to pray for you. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here like that, just lift up your right hand. Bishop, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. If you're here, you've never said a sinner's prayer before. You want to give your heart to Jesus tonight. God bless you. I see that hand. Bishop, pray for me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I die. Your right hand up high. Your right hand. Your right hand. Your right hand. All right, I see one or two hands. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come. Come to the front. Let me pray with you. Come, sir. Come. Today. Come.
Oh, clap for the young lady. All right. Let's pray. Close your eyes with me. Pray this prayer after me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From tonight, I believe that by this simple prayer, my life has changed forever. I am born again, and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.